Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. So it's a big week this week. This is the last element of the National Quality Standard. I'm surprised I've made it all the way through. But this week, we're looking at element 7.2.3, Development of Professionals. It's part of Quality Area 7, Leadership and Service Management, and it's the third and final element of Standard 7.2, Leadership. The description for this element is, educators, coordinators, and staff members, performance is regularly evaluated and individual plans are in place to support learning and development. All right, so what's this, the last element of the National Quality Standard? What is it all about? So this one, I'm kind of glad this is the last one. Professional development is such a critical and crucial part of the sector. For those who have listened to the main show for a while know that this is a big theme of our podcast, is we often talk about the challenges of educators and services facing, the challenges that educators and services face in accessing quality professional development since the funding from the federal government's been cut for quite a long period of time, since 2016 at least. So it's kind of fitting that this is, you know, the last thing we're going to discuss, and it's seen as so important. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to do this extra podcast. It's a bit of, you know, hopefully helpful professional development for educators and leaders and people out there in the sector. So really, I mean, this one's pretty straightforward. We know that educators are vital to children's learning and development in the early education space, so that the educators who are working directly with children, the ones delivering those outcomes for children, and that we need educators to be as aware of the, you know, latest practice, what's important about children's development, what's important about engaging and interacting with children. And we also know that the sector is really complex, that the work with young children in the way we do it in Australia, in the market-based model, with the robust quality framework, is complex, and that educators need support to do that well. So that's really what this element is about, is that there is a plan for professionals within the service, for educators and teachers and leaders to gain new knowledge and to learn and to grow and to become better educators, because that means better outcomes for children. All right, so let's have a bit of a think about what this means in practice. From a National Quality Standard perspective, in terms of the things we would have put in place as a service approach to PD. So this isn't just about, you know, booking in a particular workshop that's upcoming, even if it's fantastic and great. So from a service, from a systems perspective, we're really looking at things like starting with performance reviews and plans. So how are we looking at the performance of educators? So what needs to improve, what's going really well, and then what specific educators need specifically to improve. Every educator is different, but you also want to think about things that you want all of your educators to be across. So you want a balance between individual support for educators as well as a team approach to particular things. A great example of this, you know, might be, from my perspective and the work I currently do now, is trauma-informed practice. Is that that's something we want every educator working across services at Northside to have knowledge of, because it's so important to not just children experiencing disadvantage and vulnerability, but to all children. The practices that are informed by working in a trauma-informed way actually support all children, not just specific children. But it's interesting, I think performance reviews and planning can often be bottom of the list, and completely understandably for directors. There's so much else going on, finding time to just meet with your team and finding time to just meet with people to talk through where they're at, how they're going, what they would like to know more about, the things you've identified they might want to know more about, or you as an educator talking with your manager. It's really hard to find those times. So the key things here about making sure there's a clear and a fair process for how that's done, that it's sort of scheduled in, it's regular, the time is set aside for it. And also base it, for me, you know, on the important documents of both the sector and the service. So using the philosophy, that's something that can be referred back to. That's the sort of basis for the planning we're going to do. The code of conduct can be really important. And then obviously the NQF, you know, I would be particularly looking at things for educators, you know, the practices of the early years learning framework. Those, you know, five key things are really telling us what's important about the work with children. So they're a great starting point for developing, you know, particular performance reviews and work plans. And then I want to kind of, for my remaining 2 points, kind of separate professional learning and development into kind of two different things. So I want to start with professional learning in the center or in the service. I think sometimes when we think of professional development, we think of other people coming in and giving us training or going out and giving other people training. I think we sometimes neglect to think about how much professional learning happens in a service by the interactions and engagement that we see around us, by role modeling, by team building, all those different kinds of things. This is actually a really important part of professional learning and development. You can probably argue it's the most important because it's every day. It's happening with particular people. So this is about people in the sense of taking leadership roles, obviously the director, the educational leader, if that's a separate person, and the team leaders are really trying to role model practice. This, to me, is such a fundamental part of the development of professionals, is new educators or inexperienced educators seeing good practice and being able to talk to people about what good practice looks like. It's best sharing stories of success as well. So when good things happen in the service, that they're shared as a team, in maybe in a team leader meeting or on a note in the staff meeting, or team leader meetings, all those different kinds of things where we're able to highlight and celebrate good practice. And then there's also, for me, you know, the kind of learning from incidents when they happen. As I sort of said before, the work in the sector is complex and difficult. There are always going to be incidents. You know, there is no centre that is, 100% perfect. And even if there was, there would still be, you know, incidents in those services that need to be responded to, with things like critical reflection, but also professional learning. So that kind of... That ability when something happens is that the team culture is strong enough that it can be discussed and worked through. People aren't shamed or made to feel bad, but there's a process for responding to particular things and then making sure they don't happen again. That's really critically important professional learning. And it's ongoing as well. It's not something where we tick it off and go, you know, that's done. If we have a culture where that's an ongoing expectation, then, you know, that's some of the best professional learning you can get. And then obviously there's those things that I think people are more used to thinking about, which is the professional learning outside of the centre. So it might be going and seeing someone or someone coming in to your service. There's a really important part of this, which is, you know, external perspectives are really important. And also that there are, you know, people and perspectives in the sector that are really powerful and amazing that you wouldn't be able to access if you weren't, you know, sort of going outside your service. My kind of only advice here for services is really trying to move away from that concept of sort of one-off workshops. So, you know, if you're struggling with maybe documentation and planning, for instance, you might book, you know, a few of your team into 1 3-hour workshop or something and kind of have that as your approach to PD for this area. I think that's a really old-fashioned way of doing things, and I think we now know that doesn't work. And there's actually research about professional learning is that, you know, we can go away excited from a particular workshop, but it's very hard to then embed that back in the service. So it's really about, you know, moving away, I think, from those sort of one-off hits, you know, almost like sugar hits of workshops, and really, you know, identifying what matters to you as a service, and then be sort of working with, you know, someone or a group of people or a particular approach long term. You know, for me, when I think about particular services that have done this, they've focused particularly on engagement and interactions with children, and I really applaud that because I think it's the foundation of practice. We talk about a whole range of things in the sector, but what it comes down to, you know, is a classroom with educators working with children. So the more support we can give educators to do that is critically important to practice. And if you talk with educators, that's what they talk about is probably the most difficult part of their role, is just the supporting children who may be experiencing particular difficulties, dealing with stress and challenging situations in the classroom. But often, you know, it's kind of, it's reduced to one-off workshops. We focus more on documentation, all those kind of things. So working out what really matters for your service, and then how can you engage with it in the long term? How can you have a 6-month, you know, ongoing PD relationship with someone, or at least with multiple perspectives on those particular kind of things? I've sort of separated out, you know, professional learning in center and out of the center, but there's great ways to combine that as well, where you might have someone who works with you to to provide mentoring to particular people who then go into the service to do it. Really quickly as well, we also need to consider modern forms of professional learning and development, so online training, e-learning, those kind of things. Though it's kind of the same as any other kind of learning, that they're as good as what we put into it, and the research around what's being done. I'd be really wary for services out there if there are organizations claiming they can solve or fix particular things for you. The sector is far too complex for that. You want to really work with people, even if they're online or even if they're online training, that sort of embraces the complexity of what we do, and saying that this is a perspective or a starting point for a particular service. But there are multiple ways to engage with that, obviously. All right, let's take some suggestions now for nominated supervisors. A really crucial part of the role for leaders of services, how can you make sure your team are developing and growing? The best advice I can give here is really use the NQF as a starting point. Use the guide to the National Quality Standard, the operational requirements, but particularly the early years learning framework. That's the key document for educators to understand their role and their work. So use those documents to develop a review process that you're happy with, that you can use, and then stick to it. Don't go and use someone else's necessarily or buy one online. What's going to work for you? The development of professional standard isn't too specific about what you need to do. So work with what makes sense for you, because if it makes sense for you, you're more likely to do it. It's not likely to go necessarily straight to the bottom of the list, as we see sometimes with these things. So use the NQF. And then the other thing is, value your own expertise. If you're in the nominated supervisor role, you have a particular set of skills, you have a particular approach to the work you do. So lead professional learning alongside educators. Turn staff meetings into professional learning events. We really want to move away from staff meetings being just tick box things where we're going here's what the roster is going to be, someone isn't doing the washing at the right time, all those different kinds of things. They need to be professional learning and development events, and then the mentoring and role modeling in classrooms as well. It's so important for nominated supervisors to be seen in classrooms working with children, demonstrating a strong practice to educators. So nominated supervisors have a huge professional learning role as well. And then with the quality improvement plan, again, pretty straightforward for me. All educators' performance is reviewed regularly and a professional development plan developed for them. This is really just sort of highlighting this particular element of the National Quality Standard, and you can think about the best way to deliver that for yourself. The other thing to think about is involving educators in the quality improvement plan. It's a form of professional development themselves. You want to be building up the skills to have a range of leadership skills and roles in your service. Things like the quality improvement plan can become a big job when it's one person doing them, but when you have multiple people involved, it's something that's a more meaningful and also easier for the nominated supervisor, which can only be a good thing. All right, well, that is it. That is all 40 elements of the National Quality Standard covered. I'm going to take a brief moment to be quite proud of myself. I often start a lot of projects and don't finish them, so I'm actually kind of really glad I've reached the end of this particular project. But mostly I'm really grateful to everyone who's supported the show on Patreon and listened along. It was an unexpected joy of doing the podcast. It's been the last year of doing this, so thank you everyone. But given that this series has been pretty well received by the people who've engaged with it, there's a couple of things that will be upcoming. As I've mentioned before, there'll be the Quality Area 7 overview episode next week, and then the following week there'll be a sort of a look back for myself of the journey through the National Quality Standard and what that's kind of as a summary has meant for me. But also I'm developing plans at the moment for a new series which will be exploring the law and regulations. So I'm hoping people will join that series as well. That's a far more challenging one to break down into sections, because there kind of isn't the element followed by element followed by element. So I'm thinking about the best way to do that. So the show will probably take a bit of a break after exploring the NQS while I get the new series up and running. And then we'll be back with exploring the law and regs, which I'm looking forward to. As we reach the end of this, I'm going to ask people, if you're enjoying the show, share it out. It'd be great to have more people on board. I think it's a great way to explore these kinds of things in little short bite-sized sections, and it'd be great to have more people hearing the show, and as well as hearing the main podcast as well. But thanks everyone for listening. Be back next week, and until then, it's goodbye from me.